If you can imagine the picture, outdoor event, these mothers trying to get through the crowd with their little ones. In the book Desire of Ages, a very beautiful picture is painted of these several mothers wanting those children to come and be touched by Jesus. Now I want to ask you, the parents that had your children dedicated today and every other parent that's here that has had a child dedicated to God, what was the motivation why that you wanted that child dedicated to God? What would be a reason why you would want to go through a baby dedication? You know, I'll never forget back some years ago, I saw the mini-series entitled Roots. Do any of you remember seeing that series back in the late 70s, early 80s? I'll never forget there was one picture of a man taking his little tiny child and holding it up before God in a dedication. I don't know if you remember that picture, but that picture is emblazoned in my mind. Where he wanted to dedicate that child, recognizing that in this movement through life as we humans know it, that we're not just in and of ourselves, that we are a part of a bigger cosmos, a part of something larger, that there is a creator God. And he's chosen to allow us to have little children that come into our families, that we have the privilege of guiding and directing and molding. It's the act of procreation, and how God would trust that to fallen humanity is beyond my comprehension, but he does. And there's something about taking that little child and holding it up before God and just asking him to touch and bless that baby. And today we have seen parents, three families, come and bring those children and say, we want to dedicate these children to our God. What a beautiful thing. A commitment, a desire to say, I want that child to be yours, God. I want you to look after him. I want you to take good care of him or her all the way through their life. Because in this world, we've never promised there won't be problems and troubles. Those little children will experience difficulties. I know that I was dedicated to God in a dedication service when I was a little baby. My parents, godly parents, said, we want to dedicate you to God. And I was dedicated in a service. Our sons, Danny, who is here with us today, we're really delighted to have him here. He was dedicated to God. Jamie was dedicated to God. There's something about that dedication. Now, there's always been this desire in the Christian world. And today, we actually have, in most of the Christian world, something called infant baptism, where a baby is baptized. Okay? How many of you are aware of that? You know what I'm talking about with that. Well, I'm going to tell you a story. Just happened this last week. Mark Finley, my good friend, who was here with us this week, in fact, on the streets of San Diego on Tuesday evening, Brother Mark and my friend Reza, Pauline Goddard, we were on the streets of San Diego filming. Mark and I spent a little bit of time before that happened, and he was telling me he just came back from Montreal. In fact, today he's in Montreal, Canada. I don't know if you realize what a powerful impact is being made in that city right now. But they have never had more than 1,100 people maximum come out even to their biggest gathering, which was a camp meeting. They have 4,000 members in all of Quebec. He started a 10-day reaping meeting 10 days ago with 1,500 people in the auditorium. He ended last Saturday night with 3,900 people. And those French Quebecans are just sitting there saying, this is a miracle. 2,400 of those 3,900 people were non-members of the church, had come for the very first time to an Adventist gathering. But here's the fascinating story. Highly Catholic community. I don't know if you're acquainted. There's probably not a more Catholic community in the world, except Rome, than Quebec. But there was a mother who had made arrangements for her little baby to be baptized into the church. And they had that baptism set for a week ago today. And on Thursday night, Pastor Finley preached a sermon on baptism. And he shared the beauty of baptism as taught in the New Testament, where a person that has reached a place in their mental development where they can make a choice See, God's all about choice. He never forces anybody to do anything. But He gives choices. And as Pastor Finley shared from the Scriptures, how that baptism, Jesus was baptized when He was 30 years old. I had the privilege of being baptized by my father when I was almost 10. But I had come to a place where I could say, I make a choice. I'm going to follow Jesus. As he presented that topic on baptism in that place, with almost 4,000 people in the audience, this woman all of a sudden realized, hey, this idea of baptizing a baby is not scriptural. And as Pastor Finley shared how that had crept into tradition of the church and how it had become a part of what everybody believes is truth and is not, she made a decision that she was going to cancel that baby's baptism. She was a guest. And of course, a baptism in that environment is a very big deal. They had up to 30 members of the family coming from as far away as Florida for that baptism. It was canceled. And she came and asked, would there be a chance that that baby could be dedicated to God? So last Sabbath, over the objection of some of the deacons, because the deacons were afraid that if they dedicated one baby, they were going to have, you know, maybe 400 babies to dedicate. They didn't have time for that. But Pastor Finley brought this family up, over 30 of them on the stage. And in the little baptismal outfit that had been prepared for this little child, he held her up and dedicated her to Jesus Christ and told the story how that she was set for baptism that day, but the parents had realized that baptism was not for the infant, but that a dedication to God was. What is it that causes a parent to want to dedicate their child to God? Now I want to shift gears. I want you to think of the most impressive baptism that you have ever seen. Today, we watched 4 people make a decision for Jesus Christ. I can remember my own baptism. How many of you remember very clearly the day that you were baptized, where you made that commitment to Jesus Christ? I'll never forget it. I'll never forget in the baptistry. My father was just a brand new ordained minister when I was almost 10. I'll never forget him hugging me in the baptismal tank and telling me how proud he was that I was making a decision to follow Jesus Christ all the way. I can remember going to a baptism where an evangelistic meeting had been held and they were going to have the baptism out in the lake. And Sabbath morning, guess what happened? Thunderstorms rolled in Iowa. This was in the state of Iowa. And here the baptism is planned and all of the candidates are ready. There's 30-some people going to be baptized in a lake just south of Des Moines, Iowa. And by faith, they all got into the cars in the rain and drove out to the lake. I'll never forget, never forget. I was just about 12 years old at the time. When we got to the lake and parked and had to walk down across a grassy area to the edge of the lake, it stopped raining. And right above us, the clouds opened up in a beautiful sunshine coming through. All the clouds are still all around. The group went down. 30 people were baptized. They all came and got back in the cars. And as soon as the last car door was closed, what do you think happened? Rain started again. There's something incredibly special about a baptism. Because what that indicates is that somebody has been stirred deep inside their being. It's not something that any other human being can cause. A desire to make a full, unreserved, complete commitment to Jesus Christ is something that the Holy Spirit does. And that's where I want to take you to my second text today. It's in Acts. Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. I'm going to be reading from verse 26. And again, I'm reading from New King James. Please read along in whatever version that you have. But we have an Ethiopian government official leaving Jerusalem on his way back to Ethiopia, going down the road toward Gaza. Now, have you heard the word Gaza lately? Where's the Gaza Strip? Okay. You know, that's over in Israel. There's the conflict going on between the Israelis and the Palestinians even to this day. But as this official is riding in his chariot heading home, we pick up the story. Philip, remember, is one of the seven deacons. Now, an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." A road we can all relate to today. This is desert. I was curious as to why it was put in there that this is desert, but you'll see in a moment. So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and overtake this chariot." Now, wouldn't you love to be so in tune with the Spirit of God that he would say to you, "Lou, I want you to go over and do this." Or, "Morris, I want you to go over and do this." You know, the Spirit talks to us just as much today as he did then if we're in tune with him. But he says, "Go over and overtake this chariot." So I can imagine Philip running. I mean, this is a chariot being pulled by horses. He runs over to this chariot and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. Now, how many people do you know that read out loud by themselves? Whenever you're reading by yourself, what do you usually do? You just read it. Now, sometimes in class, you'll have a student read out loud for the benefit of the rest of the students. But if you're reading out loud all by yourself, what will people think about you? I think you know something. But here, this Ethiopian is reading out of the prophet Isaiah. And so Philip said to him, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. And the place in Scripture which he read was this, "And he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his justice was taken away, and who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." And so the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I ask of you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of some other man?" And then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this Scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went on down the road, they came to some water. Now, they're in the desert. Okay, remember we said that, why did they put that in there about the desert? They came to some water in this desert road. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" And then Philip said, "If you believe with part of your heart..." No? "If you believe with all of your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus. Now, what I want to say about this story is that you have a man here who is being driven from within him to make a total commitment to Jesus Christ. He's from a foreign country. He has come to Jerusalem to worship. Did you catch that in the passage in the story? He's come to worship. There's something about coming to worship. And sometimes, you know, we will worship on Sabbath, but there's also a place and a time to worship even more. Sometimes people will come to the church during the week and say, "I just want to worship God. I want to spend time with Him. I want to honor Him." They may do it in their closet. Worship is not something that happens just one time a week. But there's something about this drive to make a full commitment. And you notice what he was doing. In that drive, he was searching the Scriptures. There's something out of those Scriptures that reach out and touch us. It's not ink on paper just coming off of those pages. There is something divine and inspired coming off of those pages that reach in and touch our heart and say, I want to follow Jesus Christ all the way. I want to make a total commitment, a total dedication. What does that mean? Now, we have seen examples of both of these stories here today. We've seen people right among us that have done both of those things, that have followed all the way in baptism. And it just struck me as I was thinking about this morning and who all would be here, and I didn't know who would be here and who would not be today. The Spirit of God did. He knew before this moment who would be here. I got to thinking, what does it mean to make a total commitment when you're a young person? What does it mean whenever you are getting active in all kinds of things at school or having fun? What does it mean to be totally committed to Jesus Christ? What does it mean to make that full and complete commitment? Because many of you young people that are here today were born in a Christian family, and we're brought and we're dedicated to Jesus Christ in a ceremony very much like what you saw here this morning. And later on, as you come to a place where you consciously can say, I choose Jesus Christ to be my Savior, you have the privilege of making a commitment to go all the way with Him, unreserved. There's something about it when you see someone that's a little tentative, you know? If you see an athlete that is a little tentative, what's your reaction? You know, a guy that just won't quite give it all that he's got or all that she's got. Yeah, you know, we tend to like to see the Olympic athletes that go the extra mile, that are fully and totally committed to what they're doing. I want to suggest today, there may be someone here who has never made that full commitment to be baptized and go all the way with Jesus Christ. Maybe you've made a mental assent to it. Perhaps you have enjoyed coming and worshiping with all of God's people, and you've been led on a path. But maybe you've never, ever said, God, I want to make a complete and total commitment to you. Maybe today is that day for you. Maybe like these people who just did that here and showed that baptism. Maybe this is your moment. Because the Spirit of God knows in your heart, just like He knew that Ethiopian eunuch was searching. And He brought Philip along to make that invitation at the right moment. He knows who's here today and who needs to make that commitment. And I want to say also, for all of you who have been baptized, it's something that you have to do on a continuing basis. You have to make that choice each and every day to choose Jesus Christ. Because the evil one is out there seeking to hijack your choice in the littlest ways each and every day. And so, to bring this to a close, this few moments we've shared together, I want you to think about what you are committed to. I want to think about what you have dedicated your life to. And I want to challenge you in two ways. If you have never gone all the way with Jesus Christ in baptism, I want to challenge you to think seriously about doing that. It's one of the most glorious moments. You know, let's stop and think about it. How much logic does it make? How much sense does it make to come before a bunch of people and let somebody dunk you under the water? Does that make sense today? Is there logic to that? You notice something? There's something important. I was thinking about that. You know, why couldn't you say, well, I don't want to have to be baptized. You know, I can remember one of my friends one time. I was studying baptism. He says, I just don't want to get dunked. And the next day, you know, okay, well, why couldn't you? Have you ever seen the movie Jesus? Where all the people were out there, the actors, they portrayed it as each one of them just kind of going under the water and coming out. What's wrong with that picture? You're doing it yourself. And we have a problem with our society. We want to do it ourselves. If we can baptize ourselves, what's the big deal? Did you notice when the pastor let someone down into the water? You know, you're a little helpless at that moment, aren't you? And isn't that one of the things that Jesus wants to remind us of? You can't do this. You've got to come and surrender yourself to me, and I'm going to resurrect you back out of that watery grave to new life. And I want to challenge you. If you have never made that decision, I want to invite you to do that today. After this service is over, come talk to me. Come talk to Pastor Maxwell. If you want to make that decision to follow Jesus all the way, do it. Don't wait. And if you've been messing around and have not been totally committed to Jesus Christ, I want to remind you, without total commitment, I don't care what else you have, it does not do you any good. Christ wants all of you, not just part. And for you who have been baptized, I want to invite you to make a new commitment today to say, what am I really dedicated to? What am I committed to? A lot of people committed to lots of things, sports, television, jobs, who knows what. But I want to invite you to make that total commitment, whether it's for the first time and come talk to somebody afterwards, or whether it is a renewal, and particularly to young people. You know, I want to talk to you just very specifically for a moment. There's no better time than now to make a complete surrender to Jesus Christ. None better than right now. I want to encourage you to do it while you are young. Read Ecclesiastes 12, where it says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. That's a wonderful thing. Now, I just want you to make a choice in your mind to think about what you're dedicated to, what you're committed to. Now, Pastor Maxwell, I know you're going to come up with me just now. And all the baptismal people that were baptized this morning, I want you to invite you to come up with me right now. Please come. And we have a gift for each of you. And I guess you have to grab the other microphone.